In each of our lives, there are things that we may go through that you and I would describe as difficult. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's some kind of turmoil in the family. Maybe there's other things happening. Sometimes we need the physical strength to get through something. Sometimes it's the mental strength. We have all kinds of things that we can use and need when things are difficult. Probably the most difficult thing you and I will ever do is live as Christians. Living here in a sinful world, we've got this sinful nature running around inside of us. The devil's always after us, tempting us to lose our faith or at least weaken in our faith. It's difficult. Well, tonight we have some encouragement from the Apostle Paul because he understood how difficult it was to live as a Christian and for people to keep their faith. There's really only one way that you and I do that, and that's when we stand firm in our faith in our Savior. The same thing that brought us to faith, that power of God and His Word, is the same thing that keeps us strong in our faith. And that's what we'll talk about in our sermon tonight, how you and I stand firm in our faith in the Lord. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. For faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. He died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is an Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. God had blessed the Old Testament people in every way. He had brought them to faith. He had taken care of them physically. And God expected that they would produce fruits of faith. They would do things to demonstrate their love and thankfulness to God. Well, that didn't happen. And so the Lord had promised them that without faith, without doing things to show your faith, do you really have faith? God promises them that His justice and judgment will come on those who do not live their faith. Let me sing for my loved one a song about my loved one's vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile ridge. He dug it up and gathered the stones out of it. He planted it with the best vines. He built a tower in the middle of it. He also cut a wine press into it. He expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes, but it produced only sour grapes. So now, you residents of Jerusalem and you men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not already done for it? When I expected it to produce clusters of sweet grapes, why did it produce sour grapes? Now, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will become a pasture. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland. It will not be pruned or hoed, so briars and thorns will shoot up. I will also command the clouds not to pour rain on it. Yes, the vineyard of the Lord of armies is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the planting that was pleasing to him. He expected justice, but instead there was oppression. He expected righteousness, but there was an outcry. Our psalm reading is Psalm 118. This psalm reminds us that when the Lord is with us, we have confidence and strength. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His love endures forever. The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. The Lord is my strength and song, He has become my salvation. I will not die, no, I will live, and I will proclaim what the Lord has done. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. The gospel lesson is from Matthew 21, verses 33 to 43. This is another parable of Jesus to show how people rejected Him when He was here on earth and the great things, the awful things that they did to Him. When people reject, again, there are consequences for people, not just here on earth, but eternal consequences for those who reject the Savior. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. He leased it out to some tenant farmers and went away on a journey. When the time approached to harvest the fruit, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. The tenant farmers seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then the landowner sent even more servants than the first time. The tenant farmers treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenant farmers saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." They took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. So when the landowner comes, what will he do to those tenant farmers? They told him, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. Then he will lease out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his fruit when it is due." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes'? That is why I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces its fruit." God's word for our study and encouragement are the verses of the epistle reading from Philippians 3, verses 12 through 21. Here's what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write. "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus also took hold of me. Brothers, fellow believers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but there is one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and straining toward the things that are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature continue to think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you too. Only let us think the same thing and walk in line with what we have already attained. Brothers, join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you. To be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are thinking only about earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. We are eagerly waiting for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, he will transform our humble bodies to be like his glorious body." Dear fellow believers, in the fall, there are lots of different sporting events that take place. Football is popular, soccer is popular in fall, there's cross country, there's volleyball at schools. Well, in all those different sporting activities, you know, the kids are working hard, and the pros, they're working especially hard. And in order to be successful in athletics, you have to have the physical strength. So you're working out all the time. You have to eat right. You have to have the right mentality to play the game. You have to have the right mindset and work as hard as you can and do the best that you can. And typically, the team that does that in the best way possible, then they win. Well, as Christians, we're not in an athletic contest, but we are definitely in a battle. And it's a battle to keep the faith that God has placed into our hearts. We have these enemies around us trying to take it away from us. And the Apostle Paul knew that very well because he was going through the same thing. There's only one thing that can really help us stay strong in our faith, and that's when you and I are standing firm, not physically, not mentally, but when we're standing firm in the faith that we have in our Savior Jesus. He's the one that gives us the knowledge to know what faith is. He's the one that makes us aware of temptation, and he's the one, along with the Holy Spirit, to keep us strong in our faith. So today, the Apostle Paul encourages us to stand firm in our faith. Jesus gives us a pattern to follow, to live as Christians, and then he does something else. He wants us to focus our attention on our home in heaven. Paul had visited the city of Philippi on his second missionary journey. Paul had received this vision of a man from Macedonia asking Paul to come there and preach. And he did. He preached God's word there, and God blessed his work. And now here's this congregation that's been formed of believers. And Paul talks about them in the first part of this Bible reading. Paul is running this race of faith. He's not there yet, but he's forgetting what is behind, which would mean all of his sins, and living as a Pharisee, as an unbeliever, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I'm looking for the goal. Paul was doing this in his personal life, and now here in Philippi, he's encouraging those people to do the same thing. Paul had left Philippi quite a while ago, and now he hears that there's some problems there, and that's why he's writing this letter. In Philippi, there were a couple of dangers to their faith. There were people who were saying, well, faith in Jesus, that's fine, but if you really want to get to heaven, you see all these Old Testament laws and rules, you have to follow these. That was from a group called the Judaizers. And then there were other people in Philippi who were saying, well, if you have your faith in Jesus, you're forgiven of all of your sins. You have a home in heaven. So now it doesn't really matter how you live your life. You can never lose your salvation. So consider salvation done, and now live however you want to live. The Apostle Paul knew how destructive both of those things would be to these Christians that he knew well in the city of Philippi. And now he encourages them not to follow the pattern that people are giving in Philippi, but to follow the pattern that he gave them. This again is what Paul told them. Join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you, meaning Paul and the other apostles. Paul was not being boastful when he said, follow me. He wasn't pointing to himself personally. Paul knew better than anyone that he was undeserving of anything that God had done for him. He even calls himself the least of the apostles and that he didn't deserve to be an apostle. He said that to the Corinthian believers. Paul wasn't saying, look at me and personally do that. He was saying, look at my example of faith. When Paul carried out his earthly ministry, he was humbled by what he had done in the past, humbled to be an apostle, one sent by God. When Paul went preaching, he wasn't telling the people, well, believe me, here's what God's word teaches. Here's the law that shows you your sin and the gospel that shows you your Savior. Paul has such a love for people, he would go anywhere. He would do anything. In fact, sometimes he would preach all day, and then there was no one supporting him, so he had learned the trade of making tents. He'd stay up all night making tents to support himself. He would do anything to share God's word with others. Paul was humble and loving and gentle, and of course, Paul's example, his pattern, was based on what Jesus did. Jesus came here in a very humble way. He set aside the full use of his power and glory while he lived here on earth so that he could live like we do here. Jesus was tempted just like we're tempted, but then he used God's word to avoid temptation. When Jesus was dealing with people, he didn't act arrogant or proud or say, look at me, I'm the Son of God. He had compassion for people, and he would go anywhere and talk to anyone, anytime, about anything, just for the opportunity to share the truth of God's word. And Jesus had a goal too. He didn't need to have faith because he's the Son of God, but his goal was to live perfectly here and then to suffer and die to take away the sins of the world. Paul says, follow the pattern. Follow that humility. Follow that faith that is based in God's word. Follow the Savior who's laid down his life to take away your sins and how willing he was to serve God, his Heavenly Father, and all people. And don't focus on what you can do for yourself. This is not about glory for you. Jesus came to give glory to God. That's the pattern, and Paul was encouraging them to follow it. Apparently, there were already those in Philippi that had strayed away. And you can hear Paul and how sad he is when he talks about this here in the Bible reading. They've fallen away from their faith, and this is part again of what he says. Many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their appetite is their God, and their glory is in their shame. They're thinking only about earthly things. So this group of people, they take pleasure in what makes them happy. They find joy in what other people consider to be shameful. They're not living for God. They're living for themselves and their own satisfaction in life. They're enjoying their pleasures at the expense of their faith. And by doing all these things, by straying away from their faith, Paul says they have become enemies of God. And without that saving faith, their end is destruction, eternal destruction. For you and I today, the temptations are the same. There are plenty of people out there that will tell you that you can earn heaven somehow. Jesus, that's good. But if you really want to get into heaven, they tell you that you need to do good things to show God that you're worthy of his love. There's other teachings out there too. I've heard people talk about an eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That's popular with a lot of people. Once you have your faith, you can never lose it. So it doesn't matter how you live, just live how you want and everything will be okay. Those temptations are out there for us too. And the devil is playing the same game. He wants to weaken us to the point where we can lose what God has given to us by his grace. Like Paul, we're pressing on toward the goal. We're not there yet, but we're pressing on toward the goal. Forgetting what is behind, we're straining toward what is ahead. And with God's help, he gives us the strength to get there. Physical strength and spiritual strength. And what a blessing it is that you and I can go through our life here with our faith in Jesus. And he guides everything in our life and helps us get to our perfect home with him in heaven. We stand firm in our faith in Jesus. We're following the pattern that he gave to us. In a lot of different areas of life, you're looking for success. Like people look for that at their work. The kids look for that in school. They look for it in sports. Well, success would mean making a lot of money or getting good grades or maybe for a student being successful at winning a bunch of games in whatever they're playing. Well, what about when you're a Christian? What's success look like for a Christian? Like here at Emmanuel, what would success look like? Would it be numbers? Numbers of people? Like how many communicant members we have? Or would it be a money thing? How much money does our church bring in and are we taking care of all of our expenses? There's all kinds of things that people look at. Maybe even our beautiful building, does that make us successful? Well, the beautiful building is great, but that doesn't bring us success. We have over 400 communicant members here, and between Thursday and Sunday, we probably average 200 or so at the most, so about 50%. We have a lot of babies that get baptized, but not all of them hang around church until it's time for confirmation, and they miss out on that. We have people that get confirmed in their faith, and they stand at the communion railing here, and they're so excited about their faith, and then some of them stray away, and then they don't come back. We have plenty of money at times to pay the bills. Sometimes we need to stretch that. What is success for us? It's not an earthly thing. It's not an earthly goal. Success that we're looking for and that God wants for us is to get safely home to heaven. And that happens for us only one way. And we'd fail if we didn't have the Lord's help. Only by standing strong in our faith, only by holding on to what God has given to us can we have that perfect home above. We're following that pattern that Jesus gave, and we're going to focus our attention on our home in heaven. For these Philippian believers, living as a Christian was not going to be easy. They would have to fight against these false teachings. They'd have to fight against all the negative influences that were there. So why should they do it? What's the motivation to live as a Christian and go through that difficult part of life? Well, Paul tells them to think about the results of having faith. Here's what Paul said. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. It wasn't going to be easy to live as a Christian. And in New Testament times, persecution was common, physical persecution. So why do this? Paul says life here is temporary. Judgment Day is coming. It's important to be prepared for Jesus' return on the last day. And when you focus on heaven, now you're better able to handle those temptations because you understand that you get through these things to have a strong faith to get home to heaven. Why fight against all these things and focus on heaven? Because for Paul, that gave him something to shoot for. His goal wasn't something here on earth. His goal, the finish line, was to be in heaven finally. And when we live in a sinful world, when Paul and the Philippians lived in a sinful world, there was plenty of things going wrong. But when they focused on heaven, they could see clearly what God wanted them to do. Why focus on heaven? By focusing on heaven, the people would be reminded just how precious their faith is and how to live thankful lives of faith as God had given them all these things and all these different blessings. Paul wants us to do the same thing, focus on our home in heaven. Sometimes it seems pretty far away, sometimes not. As we get older and go through life here, it becomes more of a realistic thing. As you study Judgment Day, which we'll do now at the end of the church here, and we think about Judgment Day, we think about all those signs that are out there, and some of them you see happen almost every day. We know that it's coming. We know that we'll pass away here unless the Lord returns first, and we need to be ready, and that means faith. We focus on heaven because it helps us deal with the daily grind. Sure, there's a lot of things that go on in our life, but sometime we're going to have the life that's perfect in heaven. We go through temptations too, and when we're focused on heaven, we see how important it is to get through those temptations with God's help and hold on to the faith that we have. God has blessed us with such a wonderful gift, our faith. And when we're focused on the goal, the problems don't matter. The difficulties don't matter. The past sins don't matter. We know that we're forgiven and can forget the past and move on toward the goal with the Lord's help. And that's what Jesus wants for us. That's what Jesus wanted for Paul. That's what Paul wanted for the Philippians, to stand firm in faith until we're safely with him. Have you ever noticed how the Bible talks about death as a sleep? There's several Bible verses like that, and I may have mentioned it in past sermons, but the term cemetery, do you remember what that means? Sleeping chamber. And now listen to some of the Bible verses that talk about death as a sleep. This is from Daniel 12. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. This is from Matthew 9. A girl died, and Jesus told the people who were there, she is not dead but asleep. And he brought her back to life again. This is from John 11. This is about when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus. And Jesus said to the disciples, our brother Lazarus is asleep. He had died, and then Jesus raised him back to life again. And then one more. This is from Acts 8. When Stephen said this, he fell asleep. That's what Stephen the martyr, that Paul, when he was still an unbeliever, stood there and watched Stephen being stoned to death. Why the difference? Sleep and death. A lot of people today, they think that physical death is the worst possible thing that could ever happen to you. But not God. God uses physical death to get believers home to heaven. This life is temporary. This life is not going to last forever. And when we die, our body remains here, but our soul gets to go home to heaven. We're temporary here. It's like the popular hymn, I'm but a stranger here. You know what it's like when you go on vacation and you're going to a place that you've never been before. You don't really know any people there. You've never been there before. You're not going to buy a house there. You're not going to get a job there. You're just there for a short time, and then you're going to go home again. Well, that's really the way you and I should think about our life here. This is all temporary. Someday it's all going to be over, because our permanent home, our citizenship, as Paul was talking about, that's in heaven. We already have it. We're citizens of heaven. What a thing to look forward to. What a thing to fight for. What a thing that God wants us to use his strength for. We want to stand firm in our faith in the Lord because we know what God has prepared for us in heaven, and he's going to help us get there. It's a lot of sports that people are involved in. They need strength and mental toughness and all of that. You and I need some of those same things too as we live as Christians. Focused on heaven with the strength that our faith provides, with the guidance and love that our God gives us, will help us to do just that until we're safely with our permanent home in heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue with our confession of faith. Tonight we're using the second article of the Apostles' Creed. This talks about the work of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. We'll continue with prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess that we have often failed to prepare ourselves for fighting the good fight of faith. We have often failed to make your love for us the motivating force in our lives. At times we have neglected your holy word through which you make our faith live and grow. Time and again we have failed to carry out the good intentions of faith, obeying instead the evil desires of our sinful flesh. But though we have often sinned against you, nevertheless you are full of mercy. Father, forgive our sins and preserve our faith. You have redeemed us at great cost with the blood of your Son. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the sure promise of a crown of life for all who persevere in their faith and do not fall before the temptations of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. Give us the gift of your Holy Spirit that he may strengthen us and arm us to do battle with these evil forces. May we neither lose our faith nor our eternal salvation. Rescue those who are straying away in faith. Release those who have sold themselves to sin. Restore those who are fallen. Preserve, comfort, and build up your church here on earth. Holy Spirit, we ask you to make us ever mindful of our enemy, the devil. With great cunning and skill, he seeks to put to death our faith. Help us to overcome him through your word as Jesus did when he was tempted, and help us to remain steadfast in all that we believe. Give us wisdom to know when we are being tempted and grace to keep from sinning. Do not allow us to be influenced by the wicked world around us, but rather help us make the treasure of heaven the treasure of our soul. Help us to set our mind on things above where Jesus is living at your right hand. As you direct us heavenward, equip us to serve him every day. Cause us to grow in wisdom and faith and righteousness through your word until finally we join you above. We ask all of these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Lord God, you are the Lord of life and death. We thank you for all the mercies with which you blessed our fellow believer, Carl Steinhurst, that you called home to heaven this past week. We thank you especially for having brought him to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would comfort all who mourn his death with your precious promises. Cheer them with the sure hope of a happy reunion in heaven. Grant the lifeless body rest, and at last, together with us all, a joyful resurrection to eternal life. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain hearts of wisdom and finally be saved. Through Jesus Christ, our risen and ever-living Lord, and it's in his name that we also join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.